I always tell young people when I meet them these days, it's just, if you're interested in it and you have a passion for it, find a way to make it work for you. Don't always feel like you have to fit into a mold. Don't be afraid to step out and create on your own.
Hello, and welcome to Dwayne Morris DEI 360 with Joe West. I am Yumika Anderson Howard, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager at the firm. On today's episode, we are pleased to have joining us Delana Tillman, Director and Global Environmental Health and Safety Council, sharing with us the career path that led her to American Airlines.
Hello, everyone. This is Joseph West. I'm a partner at Dwayne Morris. I'm also the firm's Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. I'm very thrilled today to be chatting with Delana Tillman. I feel in a way that I'm talking to my daughter. I've known Delana for a long time, ever since she was relatively new to the profession, and I've been thrilled to see the progress of her career and all of her accomplishments. Delana, I want to make sure I get the title right. You're currently the Director of Global Environmental Health and Safety Issues at American Airlines. I'm sure I botched that, so correct it for me.
That is absolutely correct.
So tell us a little bit about that role, what it entails, and what's a typical workday like for you in that role?
It's an expansive role, one where I'm advising the company for their global operations on a number of environmental and workplace safety issues. It ranges from advising our domestic stations as well as those abroad. As you know, we're a global, actually the largest airline in the world. And so lots of stations. And when I refer to stations, that's an actual airport. But then we also have maintenance facilities that we have environmental obligations and permits. So it's almost like two separate businesses because you have the day-to-day boots on the ground that most folks are used to seeing, but then you also have the behind the scenes where we're maintaining aircraft. It's an industrial operation. And so there are lots of nuances, very different from the day-to-day airport work. So
when did you join the
company? I started about 7 months ago with American.
So I can only imagine, and by the way, 18 years in a row, executive platinum, very loyal American Airlines customer here. I know that one of the industries impacted the most by the pandemic, obviously, was the travel sector and the airline sector. It seems like since then, things have bounced back, but in some instances, I don't want to put you on the spot here. The airline industry, certainly not American, but some airlines have been slow to sort of catch up with the demand. Again, I'm loyal to American, so I've had good experiences there. Explain to people the difficulties of sort of managing such a seesaw effect of going from no travel at all to just in a tremendous amount of travel in a relatively short time period.
Well, one, we thank you for your loyalty. Definitely value that. In terms of the swing that we're seeing, I mean, during the pandemic, as you mentioned, people were not really traveling. Now people want to travel. They want to tack on travel with business. There's also the flexibility of people working remotely. And so we're just seeing a demand and a huge demand in what our customers want to see in their flexibility. So it's really just been incredible seeing that growth over, at least in the short time that I've been here. And I understand that it's forever changing, and it's something that our business folks keep a quick, close pulse on to make sure that we're meeting our customer needs.
So let's drill down specifically into your area of expertise. I can only imagine in advising across sort of a global platform that there are so many different types of environmental health safety regulations that the company has to adhere to. How is it that the group you advises is able to sort of maintain a handle on all of those ever-changing regulations across such a broad swath?
We have a really robust internal team, and actually our individual employees at the airports themselves are also very knowledgeable. And then similar, I guess, to get a lot of great experience working with AWS before in that global multi-jurisdictional sphere. And really, there are a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of nuances and differences. So it's really important for each jurisdiction that you drill down, that you engage local counsel that are really the experts in that specific jurisdiction, and they help. It's a partnership and help support advising the company. So it's a team effort, one that is not on one person's shoulders, but it's about getting the team right, getting the right folks on that team, both from a technical and legal perspective, and working together to address all the issues that come up.
So Delaina, you mentioned your experience. I want to talk a little bit about your career path and how each of the steps along the way have sort of prepared you for what you're doing right now. I think it's really a textbook case of what it looks like to be purposeful about your career choices. I think I met you, were you at the Goldstein firm, or had you joined or about to join it?
I was actually about to join. I was interviewing with the firm down in Miami, yes.
Yeah, that's right. So tell us about that. It's an environmental firm. You had worked at another firm first, and then you were about to make that transition, I believe, right?
One correction. I actually started at the Goldstein Environmental Law Firm down in Miami, and their small boutique shop, really nuanced environmental practice, focusing on brownfields and development and redevelopment of commercial property, really distressed assets. And it was a small shop, so I mean, you did everything. Mm-hmm. And it, for young lawyers, looking back, as a young lawyer, I was a little bit, I'd say less than enthused about the small nature of the shop, but there I really got a chance to do everything. And there was no, things weren't siloed, there was triage, you just had all hands on deck for all issues. And so it was really great learning experience. And then moved over to Bills and Sundberg, another firm in Miami. And that's where, I mean, the platform just quadrupled. Just a really fantastic firm where the breadth of clients ranged from industrial to large home developers to, I mean, it ran the entire gamut. And there was no shortage of issues covered in terms of media, dealt with waste, water, air, lightly, and then some other, and then hazardous materials as well, and redevelopment. So that's where you got scrappy. You came up with ideas and strategies on how to really be in the client services or business, mm-hmm. and get creative about the solutions that you were developing for your clients. And then from there, went over to Amazon, and then advised the North America arm of AWS that focused on their data centers. And so there really, I mean, that was a springboard. Talk about a change that catapulted me into really having an understanding of not only the regulatory issues on domestic, but also looking at, to your point earlier, about multiple jurisdictions. So sorry, one of my clients walked by. But yeah, it was just a tremendous opportunity. So when this opportunity presented itself, there was no question about it. Surely it was different industry, but in terms of taking on the challenge, I knew I was up for it. So to your point originally, it's been just a trajectory of building on prior experiences and then opening yourself up for new challenges in different arenas.
I absolutely love that. It reminds me a lot of my own journey. I started after law school at Tulane, small boutique firms in New Orleans, trying cases. And I tried my mm-hmm. first jury trial 6 weeks after I'd gotten sworn in. Can't get that kind of experience now. And at the time, same thing. It was a small firm. I was doing everything. And eventually I tried a case against the Fortune 500 company and won, and ended up going recruited in-house at that company. And the next thing you know, I was at Walmart, the largest company in the world. And I mm-hmm. think that's a very valuable lesson for a lot of younger lawyers who might not necessarily be where they think they should be or want to be, or in the type of firm or environment that is ideal early on. You know, I think the lesson is make the most of the experience you have there, gain as much experience, and then use that as a springboard, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think looking back, some good advice I got early on in my career is that each opportunity is going to look different, and it is your obligation to take what you can from that and make it unique, internalize it, and see what you can learn. And from the people that you're that you're practicing with, I think each of the firms and companies that I was previously with, I learned something new and I apply it now constantly in my day to day. And there's often times where I look back and I say, oh, I remember when I first did that, I thought there was no point in doing that. And now I find myself from muscle memory doing those same things. So
you're the subject matter expert on that thing now. So there are not, to my understanding, a ton of diverse lawyers in the environmental space. Maybe there are more than I think there are. I suspect there probably aren't that many women of color, particularly African-American women. Am I right about that? And if so, tell me why you chose to enter that particular area.
This is quite interesting. Recently, I was at an industry meeting and realized that there's a woman at United Airlines that holds the same role of woman of color, and then also a gentleman of color at FedEx. And so we all get together from time to time and try to acknowledge and celebrate that we're advising some of the largest in aviation industry players in the world, and you know, it's three diverse lawyers, and
wow,
it's quite fascinating. So but generally speaking, there aren't as many environmental lawyers that are diverse, but over the years I would say that number has grown tremendously, and it's been really exciting to see the additional folks in the field. I know I credit one of my mentors, Ben Wilson, and we both know Ben very well.
Absolutely.
And he's just been really just incredible in terms of exposure. And in terms of what sparked my interest originally, my background is in hydrogeology and water resources management. And so I just always loved science. I liked rocks. I loved understanding contamination from a science perspective and how it works underground. And then just started thinking, okay, I like policy work. I like the legal. How can I make this, turn this into a career? And I think despite a non-traditional path and actually getting some discouragement about pursuing it, it was fuel to my fire because it felt right. It felt purposeful. It felt intuitive. It was interesting work. And I mean, it's just, I always tell young people when I meet them these days, it's just, if you're interested in it and you have a passion for it, find a way to make it work for you. Don't always feel like you have to fit into a mold.
Right.
Don't be afraid to step out and create on your own.
That's absolutely great advice. Some good advice I got when I was a young lawyer is I was told you're auditioning for what's next every day of your
absolutely.
Life and of your career. And that has proven it to be true as well. I can't talk to an environmental expert without bringing up the subject of ESG. That is uppermost on the minds of all of my clients, particularly my corporate clients right now. It's something that I think being good corporate citizens and the expectation of that has kind of always been around. But now the sort of ESG universe is raising its head in the corporate space. And there's even, you know, some pushback in some quarters around ESG investing and the like. So talk a little bit about, you know, to the extent that you can, how ESG is considered, talked about and discussed within your company and just in the broader ecosystem. And I guess a related question I'd have to ask is, over the years that you've been working as an environmental lawyer, have you seen a greater understanding around these issues and a greater desire for fluency around issues that impact the environment than used to be the case 10 years ago?
Certainly. I think I'll start at the 10,000 foot level and sort of what I've seen over the years. I think there's been an increased focus, certainly, in the discussion around ESG. I think one of the things that folks still continue to struggle with is finding that common nomenclature and how to, across industries, across different companies, across different countries, how to unify and whether there's an interest in doing that. So different schools of thought, but I think that's still one of the challenges that has to be tackled. And I think within aviation broadly, there is an interest and a push and a concern to continue to explore ESG issues. It's no secret that our companies and industries are very engaged in that space. And I don't see any let up on that in the coming future. It remains a priority, not only for aviation, but also generally all different types of businesses.
So just one or two more questions.
Sure.
When you entered this space, and not just this particular subspecialty, but the practice of law itself, what was it that you expected from your career, and how has that differed from the reality?
That's a really good question. You know, I expected to be challenged. I expected for the work to be very nuanced. I expected to be a general practitioner for different types of media. But what I found is that each industry has their own unique take or interaction perspective with the different the application of the same environmental laws. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the real beauty. And I think that's one of the great things about it being challenging is that it's all different, but you're still looking at it. And each time you look at it from a different industry, you gain an additional perspective on what it means to implement or comply with that particular environmental regulation. There's certainly an appreciation over the years for the depth and complexity of the issues. And it's something that I continue to look forward to. I think one thing that has surprised me, oh, that's a good one, surprise. I went to Vermont Law School, and I think over the years, the training was, or initially the training was that everyone, all of these big companies and corporations are bad actors. They're intentionally trying to find ways to circumvent the applicable laws or shortcut. And having advised a number of companies and actually, you know, being internally advising the companies, you find that that is just not true. Mm. Folks want to do the right things. Perhaps it's because I've been working, I've had the luxury of working at, you know, with some of the big ticket names that have the abilities and budgets to do the right thing. But by and large, I found that that was a myth, and I was pleasantly surprised in that because you can become a cynic and you can think that companies are trying to always pad their pockets and find ways to not do the right thing. But that was a good surprise.
That is so well said. I actually had mixed feelings about joining Walmart when they were recruiting me mm-hmm. to come to the company mm-hmm. for the very same reason. And when I got there, I mean, look, no company is perfect, just like no person is perfect. But I found the company to be, and the people and leadership to be very sincere about doing the right thing. And in fact, you know, Walmart, as you know, became a leader in the diversity and inclusion space. And I would be remiss if we ended without giving you an opportunity to do an infomercial for your company. When I left Walmart, it was to become the CEO of the Minority Corporate Counsel Association. American Airlines had a seat on our board at MCCA and was one of the companies that was really doing fantastic things in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. So they're lucky to have you, and I'm sure you'd like to share with us some of the things you enjoy about working there.
Yeah, I mean, American Airlines is a fantastic company. I've really enjoyed the challenge of the issues that that we face every day. There's really great leadership here that is committed to environmental and workplace safety and doing the right thing. And it's just a great company, one that you can feel proud of the work you do every day, knowing that you're trying to make a difference and that you have the support of leadership to get those things done.
Well, as proud as you are of your company, I'm as proud of you, Delaina.
Thank you.
I mean, one of my passions is mentoring younger lawyers And it's always a thrill when I see some of the ones who have provided any small measure of advice or counseling to soar, and you're doing so well, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Hardly a small measure, but you know, you were incredibly busy, and I was a young law student trying to finish up, and I'm eternally grateful for you just taking that time out of your busy schedule to meet and provide some really sage wisdom, and that wisdom is paying dividends and continuing to do so. So very much appreciative. And I think that just highlights the importance of mentorship and staying connected and networking, all very important.
Well, thank you for making time now for me and for us and for this discussion. I cannot wait to see what's next for you in your career. All the best to you, my friend.
Thank you.